Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AlfredaLoveShow.com. Gospelmusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host tonight, Dr. Elfrida Love, and this is the day, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank God, my family, my friends, and my co-hosts, and each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. I want to welcome all of my newcomers, and thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, text somebody, call somebody, tell somebody that AlfredaLoveShow.com is on. Every show is archived. That means that you can listen to it tonight, you can listen to it tomorrow, you can listen to it next week, next month, next year. But the call-in number to listen is 347-843-4981. 347-843-4981. So be sure to invite someone on the station. All right, on tonight, we are filled with a double portion ministry. And what this double portion ministry is a ministry in which God says, because we've kept the faith, He says, because you've passed the test. He says, because you've just trusted in God. He says he's going to give us a double of everything that he blesses us with. Can you imagine? He says he's going to open up the windows and pour us out a blessing where we won't have enough room to receive. We must understand that God is real. We must understand that we reap what we sow. We must understand that as long as we trust God, everything's going to be all right. It's always good when you can hear that small voice that says, it's going to be all right. God says, go through to get to, amen. That's our new motto, go through to get to, amen. Get to God's goodness, mercy, and grace, and we're going to be able to witness that in a couple of days, in a couple of months, of how powerful God is. Amen. So we have a double portion ministry on today. We're going to have a little encouraging talk entitled, I'll Rise Again. And we're going to even listen to a song that God gave me as far as to listen to. I didn't write this song. I don't have anything to do with this song. But God showed me this song by Dr. Maddie Moss Clark. She is the mother of the Clark sisters, and also Reverend James Moore. There's a song entitled, I'll Rise Again. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. God's going to give an encouraging word. I'm going to give you a reference of the scripture. We're not going to go in depth, but I want you to read it at your leisure. Then we're going to have, of course, our needs and wants. We're going to go into that section. And we're going to have praying with love and power. Actually, praying with love and power is going to be before our needs and wants. We're just going to transition into each particular ministry, each particular show. And then, of course, we're going to go over our Spanish. We've been studying, and we're going to go over it. And we're going to keep moving along with Espanol. Amen. We're just going to go over the words, and then we're going to really get into the nitty-gritty starting tomorrow, God's will, all right? So we're going to begin by reading, of course, Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. Oh, you're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The morning stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, and the seekers of his holy word. As the Lord is speaking, let's go ahead and go into our prayer mode. We're going to have prayer first. And because the prayer of the righteous availeth much, we're going to listen to Mr. Dappy Keys, I Love You, Lord, today. And with this particular prayer, we're just going to meditate because God says that everybody's blessing is individualized, and what you're praying for, God says he's going to get you power to receive. When we talk about power, God is not talking about the power that's invested in earth. He's talking about the power that's invested in heaven. He says, store all of your treasures up in heaven. And God says anything that is relinquished or brought down from heaven, God says that no one can take it away from you. For instance, the joy that we have, he says the world can't give it and the world can't take it away. God says that life and death, the world can't give it and the world can't take it away. Believe it or not, in every circumstance, God has the last word of who shall live and who shall die. He has the last word of healing. He has the last word of our lives. And so we must begin to trust and depend on God. I'm going to tell you this. As God is speaking, and you guys are the only ones who know because you listen to the ministry, God is going to show his power. He's going to show how powerful he is. This time, though, when God spoke, he's not coming as the weather. He says he's not coming as the weather, but he's going to come as a victory. And people will know that it's because of God that this happened, and God will get all the glory. And then he goes on to say that for his power will cause the people to move. Now, what that means and how God is interpreting that, to be honest with you, God did not show me that. God says that what he shall do and what is to come shall call the people to shift. He says there's a shifting, there's a move. And God says because of the hearts, he says because the hearts, or God calls it, he calls it a mule, he says stubborn. He says now God is going to show his power. He's going to reveal who he is. He's going to show his power. And so we shall see the power of God. And it's coming soon, and I'm telling you. And God says, when he gives the power, he says nobody can take it away. Because it's like God says it's stronger. It's a stronghold. He says it's stronger than life and death. He says there's not one who can stop life, and there's not one who can stop death. And God says he has protected his power, and nobody can touch it. And so we're going to see a move of God, and I'm trusting in God, and I'm depending on God for whatever it is that God has for us, that he has for the people. We accept it in the name of Jesus. You have to accept it. And God says this power, you know how sometimes, you know, sometimes we relinquish what God has given us because we want someone else to be blessed. God says that cannot happen because what he has authorized, what he has ordained will happen. There is nothing that will stop it. There is no one who can stop it. He says there will be no prayers, no supplication that will stop the move of God, that will stop the windows from heaven from opening up and pouring out the power on who he wants to give it to. And so God says it will be just like life and death. You can't touch it. Once you have it, God says it's yours. And God says because he chose you. Isn't that encouraging? He says, I chose you. And at this point, our faith and trust should be in God. He says, go through to get to. Right? So we have to trust in God. So you are the first individuals to know what God is saying. What will happen is the catchphrase is God is going to do it. That's the catchphrase. And just watch. God says, nobody can touch my power. I'm going to show. He says, the people believe that they're powerful. The people believe that they have done something great. He says, but there is a greater one coming. He says, go through to get to for your sake. He says, but for my sake, receive your reward. That's encouraging. And so as you pray, because when I get on this ministry, I take it very seriously. I don't rush anything. I let the unction of the Spirit move because there are people who need to hear the word of God, people on spiritual life support. There are people who need a word and a touch from God. And if we rush this thing and if we say, oh, let me hurry up and not tell people what the Lord said, then we're not helping people. But I'm going to tell you, God says that this power that's coming, he says, if you think, if we think, if I think that he shook the earth when he brought in the tornadoes and that the earth shakes with the hurricanes, he says, just wait until his power comes. God says he's given ample time for those on earth whose power has been invested to turn, but he's going to show who is the most powerful of them all. And it's not man. He says, it is I. It is God. Amen. So we're going to pray unto God. We're going to listen to I Love You, Lord, Today, and There Is None Like You. This is the piano instrumental by Mr. Daffy Keys. And I'm just going to turn off the lights, and we're just going to meditate unto God for a little bit. Then we're going to go into our needs and wants. We're going to continue. I'm going to explain our needs and wants because we have a lot of new individuals on the line. And once we go into our needs and wants after that, we're going to go into our study of a journey. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to go to an Espanol announcements. Then I'm going to bid you a great night. All right, so let's go ahead and get ready for our prayer position. You can dim the lights. You can keep the lights on. However you pray, that is your prerogative. And so we're going to get ready to listen, and I want you to pray unto God. Talk to God. This is your opportunity. And I'm telling you, when you talk to God, there is nothing impossible for God. God says, for your sake. He says, but for my sake, receive your reward. You are listening to the AfridaLoveShow.com, SellerGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. Yes, I'm your host, Dr. Afrida. Love. Give me just a second here. Amen, amen. That was Mr. Dappy Keys. And through your prayers, I know that God listens to every prayer that we have. And so what we want to do now is we want to go ahead and go into the factor of our needs and wants. And in this, in my journal, I'm going to give you time to get your paper and pencil, because I know we just finished praying and we're just transitioning because God is moving. Amen. And so what I want you to do is get some paper and a pen or a pencil, and we're going to get ready to go over our needs and wants. I'm going to give you the matrix. And when I give you the matrix, we're going to give that unto God as well. Amen. Amen. You know, we always feel better, you know, when we pray unto God. We always feel better. Amen. We should always feel better, because when we take things to God, when we give things to God, God knows just what to do. And He's not the type of God, I'm going to tell you, as I said before when we were praying, before we get started with these needs and wants, He's not the type of God that seeks, you know, He's just not the type of God that is out to get people. He's just not. And so when we pray unto God, or when we're asking God for something, we must ask God to do what He has to do, you know. And God knows just how to do it. Trust me, He knows how to do it. And that's the type of God that we serve. You know, He knows just how to do it. We don't have to tell God how to do His job, because He already knows. And so He already knows what we need. He already knows what we want. And so there's really nothing to worry about, because God has it. And God is powerful. God is powerful. We're not powerful. God is. And God is going to show His power, He says. And it's coming. So get ready. You're the first to know it. And God is going to show His power in a mighty way. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get started here with the matrix. I'm trying to turn on the music here, get the music set up for you. But on our matrix, what we usually do is we have our needs and wants. And with our needs and wants, and I'm going to have to turn this down, but with our needs and wants, we want to make sure that we're not just being selfish and just saying, okay, I need this, I want this. But we're including our families, we're including our friends, and we're including other individuals, okay? So I'm going to walk you through our matrix. In my journal reads, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. God says that this is affirmation. If you look in Jude 1 and 2, J-U-D-E 1 and 2, multiplied. This is affirmation that the Spirit of the Lord spoke, multiplied. He says, because you went through to get to, He says, I'm going to multiply your blessings. I'm going to give you a victory. I'm going to open up the doors of heaven two ways for you. And we must understand the will of God. But this matrix, what I want you to do is draw a cross. Like Jesus hung on the cross. Draw that cross. And that cross on the first quadrant, which is to your left, right, needs. The second quadrant, which is to your right, right, wants. The third quadrant, which is right under needs, right, right, what you're currently working on. And then on the last quadrant, which is right under wants, write the result. Okay? All right. In our needs, under needs, I want you to put very small. I want you to put family, because you're going to make some columns here. I want you to put friends. And then I want to put your name, such as Alfreda, Jess, Timmy, such as. Okay. All right. For your wants, this is a basically a self-evaluation of yourself. And basically, God has given me this. God says, have I treated others like I want to be treated. And God says this right here, this question determines. This question right here determines his glory or his wrath. And I didn't know this until the Lord spoke it. Have I treated others like I want to be treated? And at the end of the day, if your answer is yes, God reveals well done. If it's no, God reveals be ready to reap what you sow. Have I treated others like I want to be treated? That's a very deep question that God gave. Because usually on our wants, it's basically, you know, how do we want our heart? We want more joy and we want peace. But God says he has a question. He said, and it's one question. It's a yes or no, yay or nay. Right? Have I treated others like I want to be treated? It's either yes or no. And God's going to give us a revelation for the yes, and he's going to give us a revelation for the no after this activity. Then God talks about what are we working on? He says, you know, Lord, I want to be a Christian. Lord, I want to do better. Lord, I want to love better. I want to have more joy. I need more joy. Lord, I want more joy in my heart. God says, what are we working on towards that? What are we working on towards the will of God that God has given us? God says, I've given you to be a leader. He says, we fall down, we get up. He says, we stumble, but we don't fall. And so God says, you can't stay down always. He says, who are you here to please anyway? Are you pleasing the people or are you pleasing God? He says, you belong to me. And so all of the pleasing goes to God. Then he talks about the result. What is it? God goes back to that question. He keeps asking, what is it that you want? I'm not asking you what you want from the world. I'm asking you, what do you want from me? Tell my God, not me, because I can't give you anything. But what do you want from me? That's what God says. He says, what do you want from me? He says, I see everything and I know everything. I already know your heart's desires. I already know how your heart is. I know where your mind is. He says, what is it you want? He says, I want you to be specific. God continues to ask me that every single day. He says, what is it that you want? He says, you ask and it you shall receive. He says, not because of who you are, not because of your name, not because you're so great. And that's God saying that we're not great. He says, we're imperfect people. That's what God's saying, not because, you know, let's not get it twisted. But God is saying we're imperfect. He said, what is it that you want? He says, because my favor is upon you, because I know your heart. What is it? Write that question down. What is it that you want? What is it? And God says, whatever it is, nobody can stop it. Because God has a way. I'm going to tell you this. I was in meditation today, and I've been talking to God about some things that's between God and I, but God illustrated a building, and he said, you know, those who create the building, they always have to have the blueprint for the building. And God says, in order for the blueprint to become alive, right, God says you have to have materials and supplies in order to create the building. And God basically indicated, he says, this is a form of going through the process of coming to God. He says, we come unto God as nothing, with nothing. God asks us, what is it that you want? He's talking to those who come in the right manner, those who come with a good heart. He said, what is it that you want? He says, we begin to write the vision, the blueprint. Write the vision and make it plain. He says, that's how specific he wants us to be. That is how specific. Because God says, nothing comes alive unless he starts building. God says, anything that man creates can be torn down, can be stopped. But with God, He says, the solid rock you shall, yeah, stand. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is very powerful. God is powerful. And I'm going to tell you, you think that when you've witnessed a hurricane or a tornado or a storm that blows down trees, you think that's powerful. God says you haven't seen anything yet. Because the coming of God, I'm telling you right now, the power that God is going to show, God says it is going to shift the people. It's going to shake the people. It's going to be a shock. That's what God calls it. And he says his power will never be weakened. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go over our needs and wants. What are we working on and what results? What is it that you want? God is asking that question. But let me tell you this. Your heart has to be right. Have I treated others like I want to be treated? Think about it. We're going to do it day by day, week by week. And if we haven't, that's something in your prayer life. When you're offline, that's something you need to pray for. Would I do this to myself? No, you wouldn't. Or yes, I would. Have I, that's the question. Have I treated others like I wanted to be treated? That's a deep question. And I didn't even know God was going to require that question. And God says it's not for his sake. It's for our sake. Because when God manifests himself, he says he's preparing us for the coming of Christ and his power. God says he's not coming as the weather. He's not coming as none of that. God says, I'm coming as favor. I'm coming as grace and mercy. I'm coming as power. God is coming as power. And God shows, he says, it's huge. He says that no one on earth has more power than he does. And the power that he's bringing is like life and death. God didn't say it was life and death. He says it's like unto that in which no one can stop it. He says, but this power that he's bringing is more potent, more stronger than the power of life and death. And nobody can touch it but God. That's deep. So, let's go over our needs. Be sure not to be selfish. God is listening, y'all. God is, he has favor on this radio station. He has favor on your life. Let's pray for our family and friends. You know that maybe your neighbor or somebody is going through something. You know that maybe somebody's sick. Maybe you received the email that somebody's family member is not feeling well. Maybe you received a text that somebody said, pray for me. Pray for those individuals. Matter of fact, when I was speaking that, I have some certain group of people who I'm praying for because I know that they're going through something. And let's pray for them. Let's pray for their families. Let's pray for their strength because people are going through things, and if you know about it, pray for them. If you know that somebody was sick and now they're out of the hospital, pray for their recovery. If you know that somebody's going through a storm, pray that they get out the storm. We're going to pray one for another. And I know, you know, I've had this talk with God. And I know that some people come on the ministry and you just hurt, you just down. Because of situations, because of things that's just not right. And you talk to God. And God says, I will come and make the crooked roads straight. And you have to trust God. God says, I don't come to condemn people. I don't come to destroy people. That's Satan's job. That's what Satan does. God says, I'm totally different. I'm just using the revelation of God. God is totally different. He says, but I have a way. And that's all God said. I have a way. And God has a way of letting us know who's in control. I'm going to put it to you like that. So just watch God. Keep talking to God. I know we have this world needs prayer. People need prayer. We have people who pour in spirits because they pour in spirit. They do things that God will not bless. They wonder why everything I touch, man, it's not successful. Why can't I seek or get prosperity? You need to talk to God about that. Right. So, let's not be selfish. And for those of you who've I received texts or emails about prayer, I'm praying for you. I saw your emails. I saw your texts. I saw those things. I heard those things from you. And I'm going to pray for you. Amen? Amen. So we're going to listen to The Center of My Joy by Mr. Richard Smallwood. There's going to be another song that comes on next. But let's be very intentional about our needs, praying for our family and our friends and ourselves. Then our wants. Have I treated people like I wanted to be treated? And that's the question. And some people are saying, are you talking about today? Or are you talking about yesterday? Or are you talking about yesterday? I'm talking about in general. God says there are some situations in our lives that we need to evaluate. Have I treated individuals like I want to be treated? The answer is yes. God says, well done. If no, God says, woe unto you. For you will reap what you sow. And this is an opportunity, God says, to get it right. But God is going to show his power in a mighty way. We talk about working. What are you working on? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Well, I'm feeding the poor. Well, I'm feeding, I'm starting a tutoring camp. I'm having a community event for the community. Starting a drive. I'm feeding the poor in spirit. I'm giving them joy. I'm giving them a testimony about how good God is. I'm praying for my sisters and brothers in Christ. Okay, and then what's the result? What is it that you want God to do? What do you need from God? Amen? Amen. So we're going to go ahead and move higher, and then we're going to go ahead and transition into our journey, and then we're going to end with our rise again. Of course, we're going to have Espanol afterwards. You're listening to the AfritaLoveShow.com, StelloGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. And I'm your host, Dr. Afrita Love. Amen, amen, amen. That was Center of My Joy by Mr. Richard Smallwood. And remember I said that God is going to give an encouraging word. And what I meant by that is the question, have I treated others like I wanted to be treated? And if you have a strong affirmation, yes, God, then well done. If you say no, or you're a little iffy about it, then begin to pray unto God, because we reap what we sow. Amen? We reap what we sow. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God is good. I want to talk to you a little bit before we get into our book study of Spiritual God on the Go by Dr. Afridi Manula. With this won't, the question that God raised, have I treated others like I wanted to be treated? This is going to be a very big topic. And the reason why is because the power of God is approaching, is drawing near. You've already witnessed when God said the demons are going to be able to, or they're going to tremble at his name. And God spoke today and he says that the tornadoes was just affirmation that his word shall never die, that he is a God of his word. And he asked the question, have I treated others like I wanted to be treated? And God showed me a conversation, and he says that one of his disciples, God called just for purposes of giving a story, God says, one of the disciples said, Lord, you asked me to go through this so I can get to, but the storms of life, God, is so hard, it's raging, and, you know, it's just not right to be in this storm. And God listened. And at the end, God says, I am God. You are my people. He says, I will take care of you. He says, but woe unto the wicked, for they shall reap what they sow. He says, continue in the word of God. Continue to trust in God, and all shall see my power. God never did say, vengeance of mine. He never did say, this or that. God says, my power will take care of problem. Did you hear what I said? I want you to write that down. My power. And we're talking about God, not my power. We're talking about God's power, my power. Will take care of your problem. And that's from God. God says, I'm going to say it again, because somebody don't believe it. You just watch. God said, my power will take care of your problem. My power will take care of your problem. Amen. Amen. Let's go into our book study, and then we're going to go over our rise again, and then we're going to have a little Espanol, then we're going to have our journey. Amen. Or announcements, I'm sorry. Now, on last week when we spoke about a spiritual guide on the go, perfecting your walk with God, Dr. Afridi Manula. We was talking about being called from a crowd, and I gave you an analogy of a child who was lost in a store, and a child was crying for their mother, and someone went to go help the child find their mother. And that's how God is. When he has all of his sheep, and there's a sheep who's lost, God goes out and seeks that particular sheep. Then we had some questions about believing that Jesus has a calling on our lives and accepting the call, and being called into ministry, and God has a purpose for us, and God wants us to build a relationship with him. I have five more questions, and then we're going to talk about, for a little bit, perfecting your walk in God, obedience unto God. Then we're going to talk about who is the church, and then a mobilized church with love. And then after that, we're going to go into our rise again. Amen? Amen. Now, the questions from last week, you remember, number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. And number four is most of the time. And number five is always. I read the Bible daily so that I may grow in the word of God. I read the Bible daily so that I may grow in the word of God. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. Number five is always. Next question. I know where my destination is. I just need some guidance. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. Number five is always. I know where my destination is. I just need some guidance. Next question. I work toward my calling each day by my actions and how I treat others. There it is again. I work toward my calling each day by my actions and how I treat others. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. Number five is always. Next question. I have accepted my calling, but I feel that I do not have the resources to carry out the work. I have accepted my calling, but I feel that I do not have the resources to carry out the work. We look at that question that God asks, what is it that you want? Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally, but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. And number five is always. Next question. I'm willing to work with others to help them find their calling as well. I'm willing to work with others to help them find their calling as well. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. And number five is always. I'm going to go over what the numbers mean one more time, and then I'm going to go over the questions one more time. Then we're going to move on to perfecting your walk in God, obedience to God. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally, which means on purpose, but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. And number five is always. The questions are as follows. I read the Bible daily so that I may grow in the Word of God. I know where my destination is. I just need some guidance. I work toward my calling each day by my actions and how I treat others. I have accepted my calling, but I feel that I do not have the resources to carry out the work. I'm willing to work with others to help them find their calling as well. Okay. All right, let's move on. Perfecting your walk in God, obedience unto God. In St. Matthew 4:18-22, if you look at those particular verses in St. Matthew 4:18-22, we find that Jesus calls his first disciples. Now, you notice that Jesus only had 12 disciples. And out of those disciples, one of them had a plot against Jesus. That sounds very familiar. There's always one. The Bible places Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee. And at this sea, this beautiful sea, he spotted two brothers. One brother was named Simon Peter, and he had a brother named Andrew. And both men were at this beautiful sea casting their nets into the lake. They were casting their nets into the lake. And the Bible records Jesus as saying, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fishers of men. And that's in Matthew 4:19. So without question, the two brothers left their nets, and they followed Jesus. And then on the journey again with Jesus, there were two brothers, James and John, who were preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and they left their boat and father to follow Jesus. There is going to come a time when we talk about the power of God, that God is going to call you into a higher dominion, a higher power. He's going to elevate us. When we talk about the elevation of God, God is speaking about the power, his power of God. He says, when you follow me, he says, what you're doing now, he says, is you're casting your net and you're blindly hoping to catch something. You're blindly hoping that a blessing shall come. But God says that when you begin to follow him, when God has called you, you're already called. He says his power shall supersede the calling, and therefore you will walk into the will of God, and wherever he places you, you will already have his power. And therefore, because we have his power, God says that we will be able to work his perfect plan, and he will position us into a place in which we are satisfied in God. Did you hear what I said? His power supersedes. Once the power of God is upon you and God has called you like he did the fisherman, God says, yeah, you're fishing, he says, but you can't see what you're about to catch, and that's called faith. He says, but when I called you, I intentionally called you, he says, there is somewhere that I need to take you. There is somewhere that there is a place that I want to get you. You say, but God, this and that. God doesn't have time for excuses. God says when you fall, you get up. When you trip, you get up. You don't stay on the ground. He says, so when I call you, you get up and you follow me. And God says, with this power that he's going to give, just like he gave the fishermen, right? With this power, he says, it cannot be taken on earth. That means that once God's power is shown, we cannot touch it, period. Amen? We cannot. God talks about, and I want to show you this, and I'm kind of getting into the I rise again part, but God talks about his power. God is very big on his power because he says some of us, this stuff goes to our head. But when we talk about the power of God, we're talking about the ability of God to raise the dead. God says if a dead man can hear his voice and arise, surely we can hear his voice, right? And we can follow him. So God talks about these. He paints this picture, right, beside the Sea of Galilee. And he paints this picture where he's asking these two brothers. We go back to the double portion. He's asking these two brothers to come and follow him. They didn't ask any questions. They just did it. St. Matthew 14:22-33 recounts the great event where Jesus walked on water. God is showing his power and his miracle. He says, do you believe that you can walk? I'm asking, do you believe that you can walk on water? Now, if you say, yes, you can walk on water, then you have a great imagination, because nobody but Jesus Christ can walk on water. God talks about the walking on water and the revelation. There is no one who can walk on water. God says that because you belong to him, he's using water, he's using science. He says there is not going to be a gravitational pull. There is nothing that can pull you down. God says you serve a God who is bigger than the water. Now, if you were to go in the water, put on a life jacket, if you were to go in the water and you were to try to stand on top of the water, it's not going to happen. When we walk in the water, we consistently go down in the water, right? We consistently go down in the water. We're never on top of the water. But God says with him all things are possible. And God is not talking about all things such as on the water, but God says that this particular analogy was to show us that all things are possible with God. So what seems impossible in our lives, God says it is possible with him. Notice that God didn't have anyone with him when he walked on water, but many people saw this. And God says that with him, all things are possible. Okay? And within this section, we find that obedience could describe the disciples who were involved in the story. Peter and Andrew, they didn't question who God was. They just followed because they knew the voice of God. These two men also did not take any gear with them, which shows that Jesus can supply all of our needs. And as the men began walking, two other brothers, James and John, they were getting ready to fish. We saw that. And Jesus called them. And they could have asked God to hold on, or they could have procrastinated, but instead they left under the command of God, believing and trusting in God. God says, always believe and trust in him. Double portion ministry. God says, believe and trust in him. In Deuteronomy 11:26-27, we find that it says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. In life, God expects us to perfect our walk daily by being obedient unto him. God goes back to our needs and wants. And he asked that question in quadrant two. Now, wants, he says, have you treated everyone like you want to be treated? And he says, it's a yes or no. God says, that's a commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a commandment. Have you done that? If it's yes, well done. If it's no, woe unto you, for we reap what we sow. God was point blank. God says, there's no explanation. Have you treated these people? Have you treated this person? Have you treated this man? Have you treated this woman like you wanted to be treated? If you say yes, well done. If you say no, then God says you're going to reap what you sow. So with that little parable with the fishermen, God says, are we obedient unto him? Are we obedient unto him? Do we actually do everything that God asks us to do? Are we obedient unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's the question. Okay. How does it feel when we're obedient to God? It feels good when we're obedient to God. Why? Because we're walking in the plan of God. Favor and grace and mercy follows us. Amen? Amen. How does it feel when we are disobedient to God? And God goes back to that quadrant. Are you treating people like you want to be treated? God says, ask the recipients about his coming, and we shall see. Amen? So we come to this question, who is the church? You know, the church is in our hearts. The body of Christ is the church, but as members of the body, it is our duty to take care of the church until Jesus returns. And so there are basically, when we talk about the building, we focus on three elements of the church, namely the body of believers, investments in the church through the word of God, and maintaining a godly church. When we talk about this, we talk about the church, and in the church is a sacred place. It should be a peaceful place. God calls it a place of refuge, a place of dwelling where people come together to worship him. And so God says that anything other than worship, anything other than edifying who God is should be cast out. He says, and when all the sisters and brothers get together, they should all be on one accord. And that's the type of church we're trying to build. But God says, first of all, the church begins within our hearts. And since the church begins within our hearts, he says, before we walk into that building, our hearts have to be right. I've heard of people bickering in churches, and we're talking about all over this land and country. I've heard of people getting shot in churches. But this is supposed to be a place of peace, a place of refuge. And God frowns on anything that is not like him that is in the church. And so we have to make sure, first of all, because it's not the building and church, it's the people who come inside. And so we have to make sure that our hearts are right before we get into the church. That's why it's so good to say a prayer before you go into the church, because we want to make sure that we're pleasing God. So baptism is an important function within the church. And in St. Mark 1 and 4, and St. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And Jesus was baptized. Ephesians 5 and 27 explains that Christ sanctified the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish, right? We are not perfect on earth, but we can continue to perfect our walk through the Spirit through what? Repentance and remission. And I want to really be very plain with that. Many people have dropped their mantles, because you're so worried about what people think of you. You're so worried about what people are saying about you. And God says you are forgiven. All you have to do is ask God for forgiveness, because no one is perfect. We continuously say that. No one is perfect, and it's true. No one is. And so, therefore, when we look at the church, when we are baptized, God says we must, that's the purifying of our sins. Right? And God is looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. So we must get our hearts right. We must get our hearts right before we make it into the kingdom. God says that the spirituality of going to church is just like going to heaven. He says, but the only thing that's different between the church and heaven, first of all, is heaven is not made by man. Church is. The second thing is that there will be no preaching in heaven. There will only be singing. And so when we go into the church, we should treat it like we're going into the gates of heaven. And we should treat it like we're going to see Jesus. And God says it should be a sacred place. It should be a happy place where people are rejoicing and praising God for who he is. So there are three questions that we should ask. When Jesus returns, will we be cleansed of our sins or ask for forgiveness? Well, Jesus is coming back soon, and we're not talking about the end of the world. So I don't even want to say, I heard that Jesus is coming back and the world's going to end. That's not what Jesus is talking about. I'm telling you that Jesus revealed he's coming back so that he can show his power. God says he has more power, and God is going to show his power. But the question is, will we be cleansed of our sins and ask for forgiveness? And so if we have ought against our brother and sister, we need to ask God for forgiveness before he returns. Will we continue to work for God? That's another question. We can't allow people to get us off track. Well, none of us are perfect, but we can't allow people to get us off track, to get us off of serving God, to make us feel like we shouldn't serve God. We have to continue to serve God in season and out of season, because God blesses us in season and out of season. Will we be called in the act of love for the church? What type of love do we have for the church? Do we give unto the church? When we go to the church, are we the peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers? Or do we cause confusion? And many times we wonder, why is it that good fortune sometimes come by? And it's because our hearts are not right to accept anything that God has given unto us. When you come into the church, when we come into the church, we should come with our hearts right. We should come with our minds right. If we come any other way, we shouldn't come into the house of God. God is not going to let us into heaven like that, right? He's going to say either well done or depart from me. He's not going to let us into heaven if we have aught against our brother and sister, right? So when we go into the church, we're supposed to have a peace of mind. And as people of God, we should continue to perfect our walk through forgiveness, service, and what? Love. When we talk about a mobilized church with love, where is your church located and who is the overseer? And the location of the church is not as important as the message within the church. Did you hear what I said? The location of the church is not as important as the message within the church. What daily with your life? What is the message? What is the sermon? When we talk about a church that was built by man, what is the message within the church? What message are we sending as people of the church? No matter if your church is located in a physical place, in the hospital, at your home, or in the streets, we are to hide the word of God within our hearts. Psalm 119:11 reads, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We have to hide the word of God within our hearts. And when we begin to hide the word of God in our hearts, we're able to take the word of God through our actions with us to the stores, to the churches, to the workplaces. Many scriptures teach us how to mobilize our churches with love. But we're going to highlight three particular areas. Now, I want you to understand that the church is always the heart. I was thinking, I had said a couple of months ago, I said, I always look forward to going to church. I always look forward to that Sunday. I look forward to that Wednesday. I'm going to church. But God said the church started in your heart. He said you can have church every day. You can have church every minute of the day because it's in your heart. And how you live is like going to church. Right? And so God says the church begins within the heart. But there are three areas that need to be highlighted when we talk about a mobilized church or a church that a physical place. First, we have to mobilize the church with love. We must pray without ceasing. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. When we pray without ceasing, we're able to walk in the will of God and have a direct connection with God. A direct connection is as we travel with our mobilized church in our hearts, we're able to relate to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers. The second way is to adhere to all, which means to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightfully divided the word of truth. You must know the word of God when you hear it, because there are many false prophets, there are many false people that will come and say, God said this or that. And there's no affirmation, there's no follow-up that God said that. When God said demons tremble and he sends a hurricane or tornado, then you know that's affirmation that God really said that. So as laborers for the Lord, we have to encounter real issues that need Christian solutions, and we must know the word of God. And so we must be like a soldier who goes to battle. We must follow Ephesians 6:10-18. So let me ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you, three questions on tonight, and then we're going to follow up. Number one, I know my calling, and I'm currently working towards it. One is never, two is sometimes, three is I do it intentionally but not consistently, four is most of the time, five is always. I know my calling, and I'm currently working toward it. Number two, I mobilize my spiritual gifts from God and function in my calling. I mobilize my spiritual gifts from God and function in my calling. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. And number five is always. Number three, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Number one is never. Number two is sometimes. Number three is I do it intentionally but not consistently. Number four is most of the time. And number five is always. Okay. All right. That completes the spiritual guide on the go, perfecting your walk with God. If we were to summarize this whole topic, the question that we should ask is, am I obeying God? That's the bottom line. Am I obeying God? God called the fishermen, right? God spoke about the church and how we should act in the church. Are we being obedient in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? God gave us some questions to think about, right? And God provided some answers with the Word of God. And he asked, who is the church? We are the church. And it starts within our hearts. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to listen. God gave me this particular phrase, I'll rise again. And this is by Dr. Mattie Moss Clark. She is the legendary mother of the Clark sisters and Reverend James Moore, I'll rise again. And I want you to listen to this song. Then God's going to give us an encouraging word with I'll rise again. And then we're going to go ahead and we're going to go into our announcements, and I'm going to then bid you a good night. You're listening to the AfritaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. And actually, we're going to have some Espanol after our topic of I'll rise again. amen. Do you believe that you will rise again? That was Dr. Maddie Moss Clark and Reverend James Moore, I'll Rise Again. And that song basically talks about Matthew 27:32-56. And I want to be very clear with this, as God is showing me. God says that we should read the crucifixion of Jesus. And basically, I'm going to give you a big picture of it. Jesus was forced to carry his cross, and they hung him high and stretched him wide. And for us, Jesus died. And so, basically, they put him in a borrowed tomb. And they knew they had him. That's how the enemy works. I got him now. He laid there all day, thinking Wednesday. He laid there all day Thursday. Well, Friday, he got up with all power, both heaven and earth. What God is saying is that, excuse me, whatever your situation is, you're going to rise again. God says there's no power on earth, and I want you to hear me. There's no power on earth that can hold you down because you belong to God. But see, you have to be wrapped up and tied up with God, and it has to be God. It can't be us because we don't have anything, right? But God says your situation, your circumstance that makes you feel down, or if you're down, God says all he has to do is say one word, and that's move. And that mountain has to move. God says there's no power on earth that can hold you down. None. And I'm going to tell you, this was just an encouraging piece. This was not a ministry because it speaks for itself. Read about the crucifixion once again. Matthew 27:32-56. And God says, put your situation, put whatever you're going through into that particular story. And you're going to come out. God says, you should rise again. God says that he's not the type of God that seeks to destroy people or devour people or to condemn people. He's the type of God who will raise people up. God specializes in those things. And he says, what was meant for evil will be turned out for your good. But I'm telling you now, as God is speaking, and I want you to hear me, God says his power, not the storms, not the hurricanes, but his power is going to move and shake the earth. And he says the people in particular will all say this has to be of God. I want you to watch, because God is getting ready to do some things. He says, go through it to get to it. God says, the question is, have you treated others like you want to be treated? Bottom line, I want you to pay close attention to the power of God. I want you to pay close attention to the move of God, the act of God. And then finally, I want you to trust God in everything. God says you're going to rise again. So don't give up. Don't give in. He says you're going to rise. What the devil meant for evil, he says, is going to actually be for your good. And God says he's orchestrating. He says everything that happened has a purpose and a plan. But the devil didn't know that he was setting you up for good things, for great things. And God said, remember I told you a couple of weeks ago, maybe, I said your enemies will become your footstools. And that's not to say in a very negative way, but God says that our enemies tend to bless us. They open doors for us that they didn't intend to open. And so we have to be careful how we treat people. We have to be careful what we do and how we utilize or use what we have. Because God says he giveth and he can take it away. He has a way. And in your prayers, I want to tell you this, because we're finished. In your prayers shouldn't be, Lord, they did this, and I want you to get them. No. You say, Lord, forgive them, for they not know what they do. But God says that he shall reward each and every person. For those who do evil, he shall repay. God never talks anything negative. He always shows us. And God says he is going to show his power. He giveth and he taketh away. Got to be careful. Got to be careful how we treat people. We got to be careful. Although God says it wasn't the plan, it was the process. God says it wasn't the evilness. He says it was the iniquities. Amen. He says, and no one touches his anointed, and no one shall prosper from their evil works. For evil works equals zero, and everything that the wicked touches shall not be prosperous. It shall be destroyed, because it's not of God. And you can't mix God with Satan's work. It doesn't work. God says it's like adding two zeros together so it can equal a number. Zero plus zero is zero. And so God says, go through it to get to it. But he says, watch my power. And that's from God. We don't have any power. People don't have any power. Only God. And God says, I'm going to tell you once again. God says this power that he's given. You can't say, well, I'm going to step back. God says it's like life and death, this type of power. He says nobody can touch it. Nobody can stop it, because it's from God. He says if you were to come under the auspices of yourself, he says your power is not, and your power cannot touch mine, because it's of man. But God says his anointed power is much stronger than any type of hurricane that he could bring to earth and dismantle what needs to be broken. God says there's something, as we get ready to close, he says there's something that needs to be broken. He says there's power that needs to be relinquished. He says there is evil that needs to be turned to good. And God is coming. He says, I'm not coming. When you tell the people, tell them to be not afraid. I'm not coming as Satan. I don't destroy. I don't devour people. I don't condemn people. Come to save. And God says, I'm going to always save my own. And God says, I shall show the people who has the power. And that's all God says. God never threatens to do anything. No. God says, I'm coming. But I'm coming in the spirit of power. And they shall all know that because of me, this has happened. This is. Don't know what that is. But we know the word of God. And I believe God. And I take God seriously. And everything that God has said, everything has come to pass. He said demons would tremble. We hear about tornadoes. And now God says he's coming in the spirit of power and favor. And he's going to show us his power. I'm ready to see it. Amen? Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening today at freetoloveshow.com, stellargospelmusic.com. This is an opportunity in which you can give your life unto Christ. All you have to say is, Lord, I give myself unto you. And you have to accept the Lord. That's all you have to do. And once you accept the Lord, he will lead and guide you in the right direction. He will help you. And God will be with you, and he will stand by you. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times in your life. There's going to be times in our life where we really need God. I tell you what, I sit at the feet of God. I talk to God. I pray to God. And it's a process in which I ask God, I say, Lord, I need you to go on me, you know. And I'm not ashamed to say it because God has done some great things in my life. And God continues to bless in spite of. He blesses just to bless. Amen. And there's some things you have to go to God and you have to talk to God. And God has to teach you. He has to teach us. He said, this is how you love in spite of. He says, this is what I'm going to do for you. He has to show the end in order for us to really understand why should we do this in the middle. He says, love your enemies. He says, you don't hold anything against anybody. You forgive them, for they not know what they do. He says, because anybody who's of God, he says, we don't destroy anything, or we don't try to destroy anything. We don't try to turn down anything. He said, we build things up. He says, you belong to me. You are in the kingdom. God has to remind us sometime. He says, you don't belong to Satan. He says, you're worth something. So, therefore, continue to walk with God. And we have to do that. And God will teach you. He will teach you how to love. He will change your heart. He will change your mind. God says, you got to go through it to get to it. And we ask God. And God knows. He sees. He says, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. He says, I'm going to take care of it. He says, but go through it to get to it, because what people don't understand is they've opened up several doors. And what people don't understand is what's meant for evil is going to turn out for good. And it's going to be a huge good. He says, but at the end, he says, every knee is going to have to bow and confess that he is Lord. And because he is Lord, that's how you got to that point. Because he is Lord, that's how your fate turned into your destiny. That's how you was able to receive that, because of God. And so whatever it is, God says, if he was able to get Lazarus, awaken him from his sleep, he says, what do you think he would do for you in your situation? He says, and you're not dead. He says, you're alive. You're in the land of the living. He said, it's a situation. He says, it's a thing. And God says, he's going to take care of it. And so why are you worried about it? He says, go through it to get to it. We're human. And God says, I know exactly how you feel. I know your heart. I know your mind. I know your intention. And God says, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that God has the power. And so, don't drop your mantle. Don't give up and don't give in. Keep moving. Keep pressing. At the end of the day, you have to please God. You have to make sure God is happy with you. At the end of the day, you have to be able to say yes to the question of, have you treated others like you want to be treated? At the end of the day, that's the question that God is asking. He's not asking you, what's your title? He's not asking you how much. No. He says, have you treated others like you want to be treated? He says, you coming to me asking me these things. Lord, please bless me to do this. Lord, please bless me to do that. Lord, I want to do this. He says, but question, you can't answer the question. You can't say yes or no. Are you treating people like you want to be treated? Have you? Or have you caused chaos? Are you a troublemaker? Because if you are, woe is unto you. For that that you reap, you shall also, that that you sow, you shall also reap. But we're in a season of double, right? It's kind of like a one-in-one in basketball. But God said this is a double. He says you reap what you sow, right? He says, but it's going to be double. So you know. You know why you do what you do. God don't have to tell you anything. You know. We know. And so God says you will experience double. He says in everything that you meant for evil, he says God's going to make it double for their good, whoever they are. Doors open. There are going to be situations in which you will be blessed double. You will have choices. You will have opportunities that are double. Not because of who you are, not because of who sent you. And God's talking about the earthly realm. He says it's because he is God. Amen. Amen. All right. This concludes the AfreeTheLoveShow.com, StellaGospelMusic.com. We're going to go ahead and go over our Spanish right quick, and then we're going to have some announcements, and I'm going to bid you good night. All right, get your note cards out. Get your note cards out. Get your note cards out. Hey, get your note cards out. Hola, buenos dias. Hola, buenos dias. Hola, buenos dias. Hello, good morning. El apellido. Say it. El apellido. Last name. La avenida. La avenida. Avenue. Buenas tardes. Buenas tardes. Good afternoon. Good evening. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Good morning. La calle. La calle. Street. ¿Cuál? What, which? ¿Cuál? What, which? De nada. De nada. You're welcome. La dirección. La dirección. Address. ¿Dónde? That's a very strong. ¿Dónde? Where? In, on. In, on. Gracias. Gracias. Thank you. Me, my. Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. Thank you very much. I just want to go over those words again. We need to be more, we need to go over these words every day. God's will, on Friday, we are going to start the second column and we're going to combine. So get ready. I've given you plenty of time to study. We're getting ready to start getting these words together and making small sentences. Amen. Amen. I want you to be sure to encourage somebody, tell somebody that AfreeTheLoveShow.com is on, StellaGospelMusic.com is on. They can log on to BlogTalkRadio.com/FreeTheLove. That's BlogTalkRadio.com/FREDALOVE. Also, gospel artists, artists, writers, actors, actress, media, anyone with a press release, anyone with positive information, please, Facebook AfreeTheLove or email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the Free to Love Ministry, StellarGospelMusic.com ministry. In addition to that, make sure you continue to pray for your family. I put them all in one line and pray with them one by one. Pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous avails much. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to look at StellarGospelMusic.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, and AfreeTheLoveShow.com, AfreeTheLoveShow.com. Be sure to check out those two websites. In addition to that, make sure that you just continue to remain prayed up and understand that God loves you and that God will always take care of you. I want you guys to come back on tomorrow, God's will, as we will have our top 15 Billboard gospel artists. Can you already believe that it will be Thursday on tomorrow, God's will? We're expecting some great things from God. We're expecting a move of God. We're expecting the power of God. Continue to pray. Continue to believe and trust in God. There is no situation that God cannot handle. He is way bigger than every situation that you could ever face. God has more power than we can have together. And so let's continue to look up to God from the hills from which cometh our help, because all of our help cometh from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank each and every one of you for sending in your news and media tips. Continue to look out for just some great things that God's going to do. We are planning the fashion show. The most beautiful person in the world, and we're going to have that in June, God's will, and so please be sure to check that out. I'll have more information as it becomes available. In addition to that, just keep praying and keep believing in God. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We ask that you continue to pray one for another, continue to ask God to come into your lives. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Afreeta. Love.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Afreeta Love. reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.